Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 85.
And then I brought that to my work. When I stopped rock climbing, my husband and I started ballroom dancing. Not that, again, we're no good at it, but we have fun. But it's that permission to be a beginner. It's, you know, seeing things from different perspectives. It's cooperation and all of those things, whether you realize it or not, show up with you. So I think for me, what changed in my life is I gave myself permission not just to work. And I happen to have kids, so it wasn't just working kids. I actually could do things for myself that I was interested in and have that be a great example to my children, but also be something that helped me in my job. Even if I didn't see the through line right away, it absolutely always showed up. So I would say to anyone starting their career, don't neglect the things that you're passionate about that are in addition to your career. It's so important, and it makes you so much more valuable as an employee and a coworker.
Today on episode 85, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Jen Cohen. Since the 1990s, she's helped companies like Toyota Research Institute, Cisco, and Birkenstock to adopt solutions that drive meaningful business results. Her specialties include building cloud-based ecosystems to empower autonomous driving and household robots and launching software as a service startups. She is committed to coaching and mentoring people at all levels within an organization, especially women in tech, and currently mentors 13 senior executive and mid-career women from diverse backgrounds. So thank you so much, Jen, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Well, first off, thank you for having me. I'm really honored and excited to be on your podcast. I think it's awesome what you're doing. My name is Jen Cohen. I'm a lifelong technologist. It's all I've ever done. I'm very passionate about it, and we need more women in STEM careers. So I'm excited to be here and share anything I can be helpful.
Of course. So my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
So actually, believe it or not, I kind of accidentally started my career path when I was in high school. I was actually a computer operator for a company that worked for Dole at the pear sheds in the little town I grew up in. So I started by entering data into a computer and helping to troubleshoot when things broke, and I found that troubleshooting was really fun. I enjoyed that. It's like a puzzle. I enjoyed the problem solving. And that's where my career started. And then through school, when I was going to school, I put myself through doing what was called MIS at the time, or in data processing before we called things IT. And I started as a systems administrator and a network engineer. So really working on all the infrastructure that made networks work and people's computers work and having accounts on servers. So I started doing that. And then over time, I grew into management. So I started managing IT teams, still always having to keep my technology skills up to date. When I was at one company, we were bought by Cisco. So I was actually a systems administrator when I was there. And Cisco, you know, was a big part of making the internet work to this day. Eventually in my career, I ended up at Birkenstock, probably a name some of your listeners are familiar with, and my pair is just behind me right now. And I made director of IT when I was at Birkenstock. And I continued to work at a bunch of different startups. And then I went to Toyota Research Institute. And when I left there, I was chief information officer. And that was really fun because we were working on doing cool things, like our scientists and researchers were working on autonomous driving, robots to help elders age in place, which means you'd go into the kitchen to get a cup of tea and there'd be a robot loading a dishwasher or Swiffering a counter. It was pretty cool. And then I ran my own company for 2 years, and I actually start in a new role as a CIO for a gaming company on Monday. So my career has always been about tech and how the intersection of tech, people, and business, like that's my favorite place to live. So hopefully that's not too long an answer for my career path.
I love that. I mean, you had a really early start, but you know, you expanded your interest. You mm-hmm. went through so many different companies, and now you're going to start a new one on Monday, which is super exciting. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I love that so much. And yeah, Okay, so my question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
I do have some, and over the years, I've taken some time to think about, what was helpful to me and what I wish I'd known earlier. So the first thing, and I think a lot of these are true for any field, not just STEM, but I think particularly in STEM, and it's one that like everyone says, it's totally trite, but it's true, and that is be yourself. And the reason I say that is when I started my career, I was one of only, in most cases, I was the only woman, and I tried to be just like the guys. I wore like all black clothes, not particularly nice ones. I wanted to be one of the boys. And the fact of the matter is, I never was going to be one of the boys. And I worked with great people. They were respectful, but they knew I was a girl. Like it wasn't like rocket science to figure that out. And what I realized is, by not being myself, I was putting a tax on myself and taking energy from what I wanted to be doing, trying to be something I wasn't. And I found that actually I've been really well embraced being myself. Obviously, I always want to be my best self wherever I can, but I think that's a really big one. I have other ones as well, but I think that be yourself is something that's important. One of the other ones I think a lot about is, we have to do the work. And what I mean by that is, there are certain tasks we maybe don't love or think work that we need to do. And I think people spend a lot of time trying to avoid the work and take shortcuts. And to be successful in any career, I think it's really important that you're seen as doing the work, that you're seen as somebody who, when they give their word that they're going to do something, that they do it. And when it comes to technology these days is so critical. So if you don't have a good reputation of doing the work, it's really going to kind of cost you in the end. I have a few more, but you tell me how many you want.
No, of course, I love that because when people try to aspire for a certain role or a certain type of industry, they always people try to mold themselves into being the perfect person that they can be so that other people might like them or they might have authenticity to that role. So for example, I move schools and as like a student, it's kind of easy to be caught up with, okay, I want to be part of that friend group, so I should wear that type of makeup. I should buy those types of clothes. But if you try to mold yourself into a specific type of stencil for what other people want to see, then you're not really being authentic to yourself. And I think that's where we lack our uniqueness when we try to fit other people's standards.
I really couldn't agree more. And I think people know when you're not being authentic, and I don't think it does you any favors. And why put that tax on yourself if it's not even really doing what you're hoping it would do? I would say bringing yourself to work. I mean, the thing is STEM especially needs women. We need tech needs women. We need the perspective that women bring. And if we're pretending to be something we're not, whatever that something may be, we're not bringing the expertise and the well-rounded people we are to the industry. And the fact of the matter is, and you're in Silicon Valley, so we make a lot of things in Silicon Valley. But if we only make them for one kind of person, the market we can sell to is one kind of person. By having women and diversity in technology, from a business perspective, you broaden the scope. And if you don't bring your full self, how are you going to be part of making sure that those products that we put out there are really will fit for a diverse group of people? So that's my thought. Why pay the tax? And if you want to contribute, are you really helping if you aren't bringing yourself?
Perfectly said. Like, if you try to change your perspective and your unique voice, then how are you supposed to market that to more people and make your product or your goal or your mission to be more inclusive? Especially from a business standpoint or a tech standpoint, the better your product is most likely because of how many people you can reach to. And that kind of comes from the team you have and like the perspective you build on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Love that.
Okay, and my question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
Common myth. I think the common myth, and I think it's I think a lot of these things aren't just my profession, but I think one of the common myths is that you have to know everything. People get a lot of certifications, they go through school, and I think those things are important. I think they're frameworks that help you. But the fact of the matter is, when something goes wrong in technology, there's not like a book that you go to go follow this path and that's how you're going to fix it. It's being able to ask questions and troubleshoot and figure things out. So I think this idea that anyone has it all together, or anyone has all the answers, or that you have to have it all together and have all the answers is actually a pretty big myth. I think it's how are you well-rounded? How are you growing your skill set? How are you aware of new technology? But really, when something has to be fixed or something needs to be worked on or created, It's about the questions you ask and the work that you do, not about having all the answers. And I think we put that pressure, and I would say that's a life thing. We put pressure on ourselves. And we think somebody out there has all the answers. Oh, that person in that position must have all the answers. The biggest myth I've learned in my life is that no one has all the answers ever.
Absolutely. And then once you get to that position, you're like, oh shoot, I don't have those answers. And then you start thinking, oh my gosh, if people think that I don't have these answers, then maybe I might not be fit to have this role. So there's like this pressure, and I guess it kind of goes to the imposter syndrome,
Yes.
where people think that, okay, if I can't do this, then what if I'm not worthy of it, and you know that know-it-all type of behavior. Because of course there are going to be people who are super great at what their profession is, but everyone lacks something. Like I personally don't know that much, like economics, even though that's a field that I want to pursue. But someone else might not know that much about podcasting. So there are things that make us unique, but at the same time, you don't always have to strive to be someone. You just got to focus on yourself and be the better version of yourself.
I couldn't agree more. And I think even when you're an expert in this field, there's more to learn. And so I really do think that having that perspective, I also think it's really great in life to be a beginner at different things. You know, that because I think so often we put that mantle of you have to know everything. And when you try to do something new, when you try to take an economics course, when you start and where you end are not the same thing. And I think that journey is beautiful and important. And so I think giving ourselves permission to be on that journey and not have all the answers, whether you are in STEM or another field, it doesn't really matter. That's a life lesson that I think is so important.
Absolutely. And being a beginner, there's so much room for freedom and like making mistakes. And it's really fun because you can make mistakes with not even caring. And if you try to do something else that you might be really good at, you might think that other people may think that you're kind of bad at what you're doing. But if you're a beginner and you're trying new things, then it's really easy to make mistakes and it's good to make them.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of freedom also in being able to say, I don't know the answer, but I'll come back to you. Right? Because you talked about like you have freedom as a beginner, but I think we put so much weight on ourselves to have all the answers. And it's okay not to, as long as you find them, right? So I love that you're talking about freedom and how do you retain that as you grow. And I think that's, you know, you're right, is being an expert, but also not trying to be, as you called it, a know-it-all.
Absolutely. And my question for you is, if you could step into my shoes, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
I think I would have asked myself why I'm so scared to try new things. When I started my career, I was, you know, I had some opportunities I declined and I had some opportunities I took. And actually getting out of my comfort zone, we were talking about being a beginner, excuse me, we're talking about being a beginner and getting out of my comfort zone was really important. And in my career, I've always done IT, but I've actually been in other groups as well. So at one company, I ran operations and I had to learn all about fields and areas I didn't know. And I had turned something down earlier in my career that was similar to that. And so I think, why are you so scared and what's stopping you from trying new things? The more that you learn about business, about your field, the more that you do in your life, the more well-rounded you are and the more valuable you are. And so I think I would ask myself, what's blocking you? Why is this holding you back? And I would have been more open. So those are the things I think of if I could go back and tell myself 20 years ago.
And honestly, the truth hurts. Like, it might be that you don't like hanging out around some certain type of people, or you don't like leading things and you like being an individual contributor, or you do like leading things and you hate working at a specific type of environment. And honestly, the truth does hurt, but it's good to actually know what's going on so you can build upon that.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. Understanding your truth is really important.
Absolutely. And my question for you is, what are the best resources and books that have helped you find your career path?
I would say there's a few. There's one that I think is really good for how we interact with people. I think one of the things that folks forget when we talk about STEM career is that people are still a part of it. So yes, we have the technology or the engineering or whatever it may be. And I love that. It's a huge part of who I am. But you can't do anything in isolation. And so how we interact with each other and how we show up is really important. So the book that I recommend everyone starting at work read is called The Four Agreements. It's about how you show up. There's a book, especially for folks who like IT and DevOps, called The Phoenix Project. And actually, everybody who works for me, I make them read it. Listen to it, read it, whatever makes them happy. And it's actually a novel about IT and about how teams work together and how to get work done, and how to do handoffs and things in a really efficient and, actually working way. So The Phoenix Project is probably my favorite book to have people take a look at. If you want to know what day-to-day life could be in IT, it's a great look at how not to do it and how to do it.
I love that because a lot of people think, when I was a kid, I honestly thought that STEM was really isolating. You just work on your code and you submit it to someone, and then boom, you get your salary. But it really isn't that. There's so much more that goes around it. Like a couple of days ago, I went to a conference for like high school students and like STEM. And it was really, really fun to talk to people and like get all suited up in my blazer and everything. But I think that's where the connections really lie, and that's what a lot of people don't really see, because expanding your network and expanding to people you don't know and get opportunities that way is a big part of STEM and honestly any type of career in any industry. But I think that's really where like the Silicon Valley lies, because it's a network of people in STEM, and just being able to reach on that network is extremely crucial that not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, I think you're right that a lot of people see it as coding in a back room somewhere and just on the keyboard. And I'm not saying that's not a part of the work that, we may do in in developing a product, but even if you're in the back room coding, somebody has to review your code. There's interactions. And so I do think you're right. It's easy to see it from that kind of isolated view of it's just this one thing. I will also say that, your network is so important, especially in STEM. One of the things that's so important is to be able to call a friend and say, hey, how did you solve this? Or how are you tackling this problem? I know you're facing it too. And I think also for career, the position I had at Toyota, somebody who hired me 10 plus years before that recommended me to somebody. So I think it's both your day-to-day work, how you solve problems. You spend more time at work than at home. You want to have a good work-life balance, but you also want to make sure the people you work with are fantastic, right? That you want to have that network. So I think there's so many things that go into the people part of it. And I think the stereotype of STEM just being like this is, I don't find it accurate. I've been doing this 30 years and I've never seen just this for any one person. So.
Absolutely. And I think the media really plays a big part of that. Like the Disney shows that I used to watch, or like the little cartoon videos, always had like the really, really smart, nerdy person, just coding, like coding Java or coding Python, which I mean, people do that, but there's not that one type of glove or one type of figure who does that. It can pertain to so many different groups, and I feel like what the media definitely portrays is totally false. And yeah, just something that I've kind of had to learn the harder way growing up, in the Silicon Valley, and having to learn that, real time.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, obviously the coding, I mean, is a part of it. That's a huge part of life. But I think if it was only ever done in isolation, the products wouldn't be very good. You know what I mean? So I love that you're learning that early so you don't have to learn it later.
Absolutely. And my question for you is, what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
I think, there's been a few. But I think that one of the big ones for me was how important being well-rounded is. And what I mean by that is that life isn't just about work. And as much as I'm passionate and love technology, that what you bring to the table is bigger than just your technology skills. And actually, I was really surprised to find out that almost all Nobel laureates have a really passionate hobby or interest. As a matter of fact, they're three times more likely than their scientific counterparts to have passionate hobbies and interests. And so I think one of the things that I thought in the beginning of my career is it's just about work. Like all I'm going to work and that's it. And as I grew, I realized that all the things we learn doing other things help us in our career. So for about a decade, I did rock climbing, and I don't know if I was ever any good at it, but I did it. And just the problem solving that, the things that I learned doing that, and how I approached that actually influenced how I problem solve at work. It made me richer and have more depth, and then I brought that to my work. When I stopped rock climbing, my husband and I started ballroom dancing. Not that, again, we're no good at it, but we have fun. But it's that permission to be a beginner. It's, seeing things from different perspectives. It's cooperation. And all of those things whether you realize it or not, show up with you. So I think for me, what changed in my life was I gave myself permission not just to work. And I happen to have kids, so it wasn't just work and kids. I actually could do things for myself that I was interested in and have that be a great example to my children, but also be something that helped me in my job. Even if I didn't see the through line right away, it absolutely always showed up. So I would say to anyone starting their career, don't neglect the things that you're passionate about that are in addition to your career. It's so important, and it makes you so much more valuable as an employee and a coworker.
And it's beautiful because when you have a different combination of things you do enjoy, it's really fun to see, okay, sure, I work at this place, but at the same time, I might do horseback riding, or I might do field hockey. Like, I play field hockey, and it's a sport that not a lot of people play, but it's pretty interesting. But at the same time, a lot of people think that, okay, once I get this job or I break into the corporate world, I can only measure things by money. So, of course, I probably won't go D1 in field hockey. So I don't think that'll give me any benefit in life. But at the same time, it gives me that health. You know, I work, I have to run a lot. So there's that really fun part of being in a team. But at the same time, I'm a student, so I have school stuff to do. But at the same time, being a team player means that I might have to be a team player in school settings. So being able to learn different skills, not only through your work or being a student, can come from your hobbies that if you kind of expand on, you'll start to grow and have more benefits through those hobbies instead of neglecting them.
So that makes my heart warm to hear you just describing it. I love that. And I was absolutely thinking, like, the team player, how does that affect how you show up? And I'm sure that it does. And I love that you do it. And I love that you do field hockey. That's awesome.
Thank you. Okay, so because we have some additional time, my question for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
We talked a little bit about, not necessarily knowing, not everyone has all the answers. And I think that thinking I had to know all the answers, one of the things I wish I'd known is that it was way more important to be curious and to listen rather than, collecting data from this perspective of I have to know everything, but rather understanding the experiences that went around that. So when something's going wrong or working on a project, asking questions, listening more, looking for how things are interconnected. I think that, and a big part of that was I thought all the answers were tech. I thought every answer had to be tech in the beginning of my career. And as my career has evolved, what I realized is nothing's in isolation in life, right? We're not isolated at home. We're not isolated at work. There's always, a human element in it. And I think if you look at all the amazing technology that's coming out, things like AI, none of that exists in a vacuum. So being curious and listening and understanding where people come in, where tech come in, what are the business objectives and how those all tie together, I really wish it hadn't taken me as long as it did to put all that together. And it took me a good bit into my career to stop looking at just tech being the answer. And I love tech, don't get me wrong, but it's just nothing. We talked before, in so many ways, nothing's in isolation,
And of course, like, the truth hurts. Like, a lot of people, they definitely know that, okay, in order to become a better version, I'd have to do this, this, and this. But of course, the truth hurts. So not a lot of people can do that. But just knowing that, okay, there's this that can happen. Technology might not be the only answer. And being curious enough and open-minded to know, okay, there are more things out there. That will definitely help you. But at the same time, it's definitely a sore pill to take because, as always, the truth hurts.
Well, it's funny you talk about the truth hurting, and I actually think that's usually a signal that we need to pay attention, right? I had some feedback in my career about how I was approaching certain tasks and people when I was interacting with them on those tasks, and it hurt. I went home and cried that night. But I guarantee you I would not have progressed in my career if my manager hadn't cared enough about me to give me that feedback. And the reason, when I look back, it still twinges a little bit today, and it's been 20 years. But at the end of the day, when you feel that little bit of hurt, chances are there's a need to pay attention, right? That because the truth does, if it was a truth we accepted, it would hurt.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a problem for me because I like to sugarcoat things and I'm really bad at confrontation, but at the same time, criticism and constructive criticism can go a long way.
Agreed. I think I do think it's interesting you say confrontation. One of the things I really try to think is, would I want someone to tell me? Whether that's like spinach in your teeth or something else, would I want someone to tell me? And I think you're right. In order to grow, right, you need that feedback. So I try to reframe it from confrontation to, if this is somebody I care about and we need to work through this, how do I tell them in a way that they know it's coming from a place of caring, not from a place of, for lack of a better term, criticism? So I love the way you're framing it, because that's very much how I have managed to work. Because I also, I don't know, lots of, I mean, maybe there are people who love confrontation, but I also do not. So that's how I've framed it over the years to be able to do it. And also, feedback's a gift. If that manager of mine hadn't bothered to tell me, I would have continued to do the wrong thing. And so her, or the non-optimal thing, or however you want to put it, the fact that she cared enough to confront in a, you know, nice way, was a gift to me. So when you're having challenges with that confrontation or the sugarcoating, remember, if it's done right, it's a gift.
I love that. If it's done right, that's a gift. And my final question for you before we end off is, how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
Well, I think one of the things I love about STEM field is that you are always learning. In order to be successful, you have to be constantly seeing what's out there. And it also means no 2 days are the same. So it's part of why I love what I do. And so there's lots of different ways that I look at it. Some of it is, you talked about going to a conference, meeting peers and finding out what they're doing and how they're tackling problems. Or if you all have the same problem, you know, brainstorming for how you can do it. I think there's a lot of reading, and that reading could look like websites. It can look like technical manuals. There's lots of different ways to do it, but I think there's always, how do you consume? I think being a lifelong learner is critical to a STEM career. I think we know engineering, science, technology does not sit still. And I enjoy it. I think the other thing is, and one of the things in my career I've been really lucky with is hands-on. There are lots of places to go and try something. So whether it's getting a student AWS account, whether it's, you know, going on and doing a Kubernetes tutorial, like, I love seeing what's out there, because it opens my mind to possibilities, not just for how we can use the tech, but also what we could potentially do even 5 years down the line. So I think that lifelong learner, I think to be successful in life, that is something that's really important. Whichever medium you use to learn, it's important to do so.
I absolutely love that. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for being here today.
Yeah.
Right before we end off, do you have any last words to the audience?
Well, first, I just want to say again, thank you to you. This has been so lovely. And I love that you're putting this out there for young women to listen to, for everyone, but especially for young women. And I would just say, same message I said before, tech needs you. We need women in our field. So please, please come join us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you.
And here are my 3 cents on this episode with Jen. 1, exploration and adaptation. Trying new hobbies exposes you to different experiences, skills, and perspectives. It's an opportunity to discover hidden talents or passions you never knew you had. By being open to trying new things, you cultivate adaptability and resilience, essential traits in an ever-changing world. 2, continuous improvement through feedback. Feedback is a valuable tool for growth and development. Being open to feedback, whether it's constructive criticism or praise, allows you to refine your skills and deepen your understanding. And 3, diversification of learning mediums. Lifelong learning thrives on diversity, and embracing different mediums, whether it's through books, videos, or podcasts just like these, or even hands-on experiences, enriches your learning journey. Each medium offers a unique perspective and depth of understanding, allowing you to grasp concepts from multiple angles. Thus, that concludes the episode for this week. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Dito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!